Hello everyone, my name is Lino Farah, the host of Crib of Talks. Welcome back to our program. Today's program is one of those episodes where I periodically invite my good friend Matt George, co-founder of Cribble Foundation and co-executive producer of this show, to join me in a recap of our most recent episodes. Matt, welcome back. It's been a very busy year thus far, and we have learned so much from our guest speakers and their social organizations they represent. I certainly have enjoyed hearing our guests talk about their journey and the great work they provide to individuals within our vulnerable population. Matt, let's start our show with revisiting the most recent episodes we did on an organization named Deafblind Ontario Services. Karen Madhope, Manager of Public Relations and Communications, is very passionate about her role and really excited about the work this organization is doing.
First off, Lino, thanks for having me again. The intravenous services was key. Yeah. How so important, these people are. They are, as Karen said, the eyes and ears of these special persons with sight and hearing impairment.
Yeah, the services offered by Deafblind Ontario are quite extensive, Matt. If you recall, supported living that they provide, barrier-free, affordable housing and access to support services 24/7 is really important. And through partnerships with other organizations, Deafblind Ontario offers their expertise with a holistic approach through mentorship and training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Karen discussed many important upcoming events, such as June, was proclaimed, the National Deafblind Awareness Month by the Canadian Senate in 2015. Mm-hmm. June also commemorates the birth month of Helen Keller, a well-known person who was deafblind. Yarn bombing. This involves taking knitted, crocheted, or loomed yarn creations of yarn and joining them together and attaching them to objects and structures. They can be in the form of square or pom-pom or even wrapped around a structure, like a pillar or something,
Yeah, that yarn bombing was so creative, a part of their organization and what they're doing. Karen also spoke of the importance of the tactile art installations. Mm. These installations, remember, we highlight the many talents and contributions of the individuals who are deafblind, and really a symbol of people coming together in the field of deafblindness, drawing on a spirit of unity and fostering connections with the community, with service and advocacy groups in the field.
Right. Yeah. And the show ended with you asking Karen what message she wanted to leave us with. And her response was the uniqueness of the bond between the intervener and the person with the sight and or hearing impairment. This is very, very special for sure.
Yeah, the intervener, what a role. Just the special people. And there are so much, they're so important to the organization and to the family and to the individual with who's sight and hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, let's move to the Habitat for Humanity episode. Feel free to start this segment with your first comment on that episode.
Well, one thing's for sure. Habitat for Humanity cannot build enough homes to satisfy the huge demands. The old problem, demand far exceeds the supply.
Yeah, for sure. Our guest speaker, Sean Ferris, the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, Hamilton, mentioned that Habitat for Humanity relies greatly on their team of volunteers, which supply the labor, which includes the much needed expertise of the tradesmen that are required to build a home. And Habitat for Humanity can never accomplish what they do in the community without building materials and labor supplied by the public. And yes, they need money as well, right?
Yes. And the other related important point raised was land availability. As we have learned, this is the same huge issue with building residential supportive housing for people with developmental disabilities. If municipalities and the provinces do not make land accessible to housing organizations, it doesn't matter what preparations are made. Simply put, land is key.
Right. The Habitat for Humanity, great organization. I hope people go back to our website and revisit that episode if they haven't seen it. That was excellent. Let's move to the next episode showcasing the Burlington Food Bank and Robin Bailey, who's the executive director of the Burlington Food Bank, who was our guest on that show. Matt, what's your first comment on this very interesting episode?
What I found really shocking is that there's such a huge increase in the need for food banks year over year. Food banks across Canada are seeing 15 to 20% increase, 2022 over 2021. The Burlington Food Bank saw an increase of closer to 80% from March of 2019 to 2022. Recently, within the past 4 to 5 months, the Burlington Food Bank is still seeing an increase of 20%. One of the alarming things the Burlington Food Bank is seeing is that people who are working and are needing our services. The employment income for many families is still not enough to support the needs of the family.
Right. Yeah, I remember the traffic and the statistics were incredible. I couldn't believe how many people that need the food bank or so close to having the need for it. Anyways, housing is a big one too. Not inexpensive to live in Burlington. For example, look at the rental rates. We are seeing sizable increases in rent and not many vacancies. What we need to remember is that behind these statistics is a real person who is struggling too much just to get by.
Yeah, I like the fact that the food bank does take an intake interview in a confidential manner, very private, to better understand the needs of the person, the family coming into the food bank. The interview process allows the family to know that the Burlington Food Bank is there to support them, point them in the right direction of other organizations that are also there to assist. All right. I mean, often the need for food is so overwhelming, such that the crucial pivot point that once the need for food is solved, that the person, that family, now has time and the ability to seek employment or whatever else they need, right?
Right. In summary, the food bank has addressed a core need for that person, that family, which is so very rewarding, right?
Yeah,
Of
exactly.
interest, found this comment by Robin pretty cool. He said that often persons will come back to the Burlington Food Bank to let them know how they are doing, or that they have found employment. That's great, right? For them to step up and say, "Hey, man, you help me," and when I
Yeah,
needed it, right?
absolutely. The food bank has gone beyond simply acquiring food through donation and now have community gardens where they grow food and perhaps land that is intended for development, but not yet being developed or is donated, loaned to the food bank to grow produce. The community appreciates the freshness of the local produce and, together they've grown over 2,000 pounds of food. They can grow and produce specific to what their clients need and want. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Matt, I think a lot of people accessing food banks would definitely like to see vacant land not designated for housing, for example, used for growing food rather than being left vacant.
Yeah, the backbone for a number of initiatives is Feed Ontario, which gives the Burlington Food Bank membership to Food Banks Canada. This allows Burlington Food Bank to access to allocation from a number of farming groups. Example, dairy farmers are big supporters, which gives them a little under 750 liters of milk a month. Egg farmers, beef farmers, etc., all support the Burlington Food Bank.
Well, hunger is would you say is a 12-month program, right? Not just a holiday concern. The Burlington Food Bank has done a wonderful job getting this message out, and that there's value in spreading out the donations rather than just once or twice over a year to perhaps considering donating something on a monthly basis. Often companies are doing food drives in February or in August or any month, not just at the holiday season. This helps so much, right? These food banks.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I was get, before we get on to KW habilitation, I just wanted to mention that it's interesting that even some of the guest speakers we've had on the past, Matt, on our program, like KW habilitation and Rena, are actually spreading into the farm business, dealing with growing their own food as well, right? So it's kind of a food bank related to their social organizations, which is primarily providing supported living arrangements and much needed care for individuals with diverse abilities. So it's kind of interesting that this food element is spreading as well, not just for food banks, but to some organizations within their core business, right? So
Yeah, they're wonderful initiatives, right? So Definitely kudos to everyone to do this.
Yeah, I've actually visited some of them. It's great. I mean, it's they're even. I have thought about. We've discussed bringing them on our program again because there's been talk about bringing us up to date on some of their ideas, right? How to grow food in the summer or but out in the other months of the year where you normally don't. Hydroponics, is that the term they use? I'm not sure, but
I think
it's
that's what, yeah.
yeah. So let's end our talk today with our thoughts on the KW Ability. So I just mentioned Ann Billadoux, the episode, and she's executive director there. What do you think?
Where to start? Such a fine organization. KW celebrated their, in November 2022, a milestone anniversary of 50 years of service and dedication to their community. And
Terrific.
that is pretty significant.
Well, I would agree, Matt. What a truly magnificent achievement. And their executive director, Ann Billadoux, has taken leadership to a whole new level, by the way. She's just incredible. What do you think about what they offer, the services they offer?
The social business is so multifaceted, right? The KW habilitation work with children age from 0 to 12 with a program called SNAP, Single Point of Access, with an early intervention program for children with autism or any other special need concern, youths, adults and their families. They also offer employment counseling and placement for persons with an intellectual and developmental disability. They have an exciting farm operation. They operate, in a very engaged and supportive housing program as well. So it's all fantastic things that's happening there right now.
Yeah, I especially recall my conversation, a part of a conversation with Ann Billadoux, and noticed her level of knowledge in all of these areas of the business, but most importantly, her level of knowledge with all levels of government and her ability to navigate the complexities associated with all these complicated layers.
Yeah, when we look at the employment services, KW Habilitation's motto is for our community and by our community. They are involved with career compass working with both the employer to develop the employer. So they are welcoming in their workplace, plus the job seeker to allow them to meet their dreams and goals of where they want to work. KW Habilitation also works with the Project Search, which is led by the school board and local hospitals. The students have their final year of schooling at the hospital and are introduced to many different jobs in a hospital. The intent is that the student moves from there into a potential employment within the hospital, some of which are in the operating room or preparing the instruments for a surgical procedure. Of interest is that this program is looking to expand its depth to include adults with developmental disabilities. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, you mentioned Project Search. Quick note, they're going to be our guest appearance in the upcoming season. They're fantastic, and Odin too, the representative of Odin. I think there's going to be both McDougal and Karen McDougal and Odin, or representative Odin, on the show and to talk about their extensive work in this area that you mentioned, because I found it very, very interesting. I think the general public would like to hear about that as well. KW Habilitation values a good life for sure. Having employment, finding work that makes you happy is a big part of feeling valued, in my opinion. Increasing oneself, giving persons with developmental disabilities the ability to work where they choose is important. It adds to their personal growth and their esteem or self-worth. It's huge. We all need to feel good, about what we're doing and where we are going, right? Do you agree? I mean, that's essential to everyone.
The robust farm segment of KW Habilitation is impressive and innovative. Their farm that grows vegetables, fruits, have walked paths throughout the raised garden beds for persons with wheelchair, and they have a beekeeper. How cool is that? Fresh vegetables and fruits go to all their community homes with overflow to homeless shelters. They offer corporate team building events at their farm. KW Habilitation works with the Service Canada offering summer jobs, employment opportunities, where students can work alongside someone who has a disability interning, both getting paid and often the students return later as a volunteer. It's a win-win scenario. KW Habilitation has pop-up markets where they sell their produce spring to fall, and it's a busy time of the year.
You know, but there's nothing more I can say. You're at your from your takeaway points, because this all sounds wonderful, and I wish many people with diverse abilities could live and enjoy the things KW Habilitation offers. Truly, it's simply amazing.
KW's homes are inclusive living, journey to belonging. And discuss the difference between affordable housing and supportive affordable housing, citing the fact that while they may be affordable housing offered, they aim to ensure that if a person needs additional support, it is offered as a best option.
Matt, if I may add, your point is important because every person with a developmental disability should decide where he or she wants to live. It has been proven that some like living in a smaller group home setting for a number of reasons, and this smaller setting works for many, and this option should always be available.
And along with the traditional inclusive living homes, KW Habilitation recently completed the construction of a multi-unit residential building, a 22-unit one and two bedroom complex built based on the philosophy of integration and diversification of the community. Of the 22 units, 8 are supportive units and that are used by KW Habilitation. The project apparently took about 4 years. They had some struggles, of course, like any construction project, around the quality of materials needed for the building. The building had to be accessible, the material had to last, and it looks good. And it had to meet the high standards they were looking for. KW was then able to further stretch the support dollars from a prior group home model as persons from that home moved into this new building. Technology provided another layer of safety and security. KW further added a program within this building called the Neighbor Helping Neighbor. Persons moving into the building were interviewed to ensure a good mix of people living in this building. They wanted the people to integrate, to be helpful with each other if they wanted to check in on each other, to develop a community. And they have done precisely that.
Well, you know, as they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? 4 years is not a lot to get this level of excellence here. So mm-hmm. compliments to them.
Yeah.
And on our show, Ann mentioned that KW Habilitation has another 18-unit building pending funding that is shovel ready. We should definitely do a follow-up show with KW Habilitation, Matt. Clearly, we can see that KW Habilitation has a successful model for working with people with diverse abilities for the past 50 years. And with their vision and progressive planning, we are certain they will continue to be an inspiration in and with their community and to other like-minded organizations, by the way. Mm-hmm. Well, we have come to our end of our program, Matt. Thank you, my friend, for joining me today and for your astute comments and takeaways, as always, from our recapping our most recent episodes.
No problem at all.
I kind of like this format and look forward to recapping future episodes we do with you again. Certainly, all of our guest speakers and their wonderful social organizations warrant recognition for their work in the community and for the services they provide to their benefactors. As you have learned from all of our episodes, their work is not without challenges. It involves so many factors, like volunteers, funding from all levels of government, dedicated staff, public donations, which are very difficult to come by as a result of so many needs, and in many cases, changes resulting to outdated legislation and lack of public awareness. Yet what I found is that all of our guest organizations still forge ahead, find ways to navigate the waters in order to continue their mission. Remember, all of our webcasts are posted on our website, cribofftalks.com, and seen on YouTube. If you subscribe to Cogeco, you can watch our episodes on Your TV Halton, Cogeco's community channel covering local news and productions in the Burlington, Oakville, and Milton areas. Lastly, organizations doing great things in the community that improve the quality of life for those within our vulnerable population and perhaps interested in sharing your message by appearing on Crib of Talks, simply email your request to info@cribofftalks.com. And I like to end the program by saying people with diverse abilities within our vulnerable population need our help. You see, affecting change is needed, especially when it enriches people's lives. I'm Lino Farah. Thank you for watching Crib of Talks. Be well and stay safe.